The Gospel of John, chapter 20. And if you need a Bible, there may be one right in front of you. Look at John, chapter 20. I'm going to start with verse 1 this morning. My message title this morning is Jesus, the Gardener, or the Glorified? John, chapter 20. Tell me when you got it. Verse 1, it says, in the first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early. It was still dark, and yet she came unto the sepulchre. And seeing the stone had been taken away, as she ran, then came Simon Peter and some of the other disciples whom Jesus loved. And they said to him, they have taken my Lord away, and we don't know where they've laid him. Drop down to verse 20. It says, then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Verse 11, but Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeing two angels sitting there, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body was laying. Now, how many knows that she's coming today? She knows the stone was rolled there. And when she gets there, the stone is rolled away. How many in here would have man, I know they laid the Lord here. You'd be a little upset. How many in here in the natural, you'd be saying, hey, where have they laid the Lord? You'd have a mission to say, hey, I want to find that body. True? Didn't he say in 3 days I'll rise from the dead? I'll get to that in a minute. But notice all of a sudden there's two angels standing there. Fact of the matter is they're sitting. It's showing that there's a new sign. The angels are dressed in white. How many knows that? He's the light of the world. But the angels are seated. They're not defending the place. They're actually there in peace. Say amen. How many knows he's not defending the Lord's body? But notice they're at the head and the feet of him. How many knows the Lord watches over us totally? How many knows the Father would give charge to that? When you're in his care, he watches over you. If you're taking notes this morning, number one, to see the glorified, we must take a good look at Christ. Look at verse 13. Then he said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said, because they've taken the Lord away, and I don't know where they've laid him. And when she turned to see that, she turned around and saw Jesus stand there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. I wonder how many times we, Lord, I need you here. I need you here, but we're not paying attention to him even speaking. Come on, sometimes we need to take a good look. Notice that she's crying. The angels ask, why are you crying? When Jesus shows up, he asks, why are you crying? I wonder how many unnecessary tears we shed if we would just walk in faith. She has this visionary mode to her. She's focused on it rather than having an observation. Sometimes we're so focused on the problem, we miss the solution. Say, where had they laid him? I need to know. I need to know where he's at. Look at verse 15. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why are you what? Weeping. Whom are you seeking? Supposing that he's the gardener. He said, sir, if you have him, tell me where he's at. I'll take him. I'll carry him away. Now, what I appreciate about Mary Magdalene, I share with the first service, is that, you know, I doubt if she could have carried the body, but I give her some credit for saying it. Hey, wherever you like it later, look, I'll go after. How many know sometimes when a woman's on a mission, she'll go after? Come on, ladies, it's your time. When a woman's on a mission, she'll go after. I appreciate her saying, you know, wherever you've laid him, I'll go take him. Number two, and to see the glorified, we must look for the living one. How many know Jesus said, I will arise in 3 days? In Luke 24, it says this, why do you look for the living amongst the dead? That's verse 5. Sometimes our tears are a veil over our eyes. We're seeking the dead prevents us from seeking the living. And I wonder how many times people have lost it by worshiping this or this or some stone image. Are you with me? That can't hear, that can't see. Why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? Why didn't they have the heart to say, you know what, I'm not going to no tomb. In 3 days, he's going to be around. But notice it wasn't in any of them. None of the disciples. Even Mary, she's coming there weeping. I mean, sometimes our emotions can kind of override some things. Yes or no? I mean, you're so caught into it. Or you get tunnel vision on the problem, you can't even see the Lord out there. Is this good preaching? Sometimes we got to look at it. The angels say, why are you weeping? Now Jesus shows up, why are you weeping? Sometimes we're so ingrained in that area that we can't see. Even when Jesus is even speaking to us. I'll get to that in a minute. Lord, help me to have, listen, an observation view, not just tunnel vision. Amen? Come on. See, I wish I would have been the one, but that wouldn't have been me. Wouldn't it have been great if somebody went to the tomb and said, you know what? I know he's not here. He said 3 days he's going to rise from the dead. Why are we even doing here? That's just a borrowed place. But none of them had that faith. She came there, and I do appreciate it. Hey, she was going there for a right reason. But how many of you can still miss it even with the right reason? Look at verse 16. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned around and said, Rabboni, which is teacher. Notice now she's starting to hear. Number three, if you're taking notes. To see the glorified, we must hear his voice. This Mary now is a Mary she's heard before. There are times when the Lord speaks to you that you know it's the Lord. Once we override our emotions, we try to listen, Lord, speak. How many of us, when God speaks to you, you know it? How many ever heard the voice of the Lord? He helped you, gave you wisdom, helped you with this. You know what? God can give you even wisdom on your job. He can make you smart when you're not. You know how many times I prayed, Lord, help me with this. I don't have the wisdom for this. Help me with this. I've even asked him to help me find something before. Amen? Like many of you, I lose some things. Anybody lose something? I remember one time I had my cell phone. That thing can be a trap in itself. I threw it out in the trash with the rest of the garbage. I just had it in my hand and I threw it all in there. How many ever look for something for a couple hours? Call it, text it. Maybe you can hear a buzz or a beep or a tone or whatever. Man, I looked everywhere, everywhere. Car, outside. I never thought it'd be in the garbage. It was on vibrate mode at the very bottom. I didn't hear nothing. Then I'm like, oh, Lord, this is just wasting so much time. Lord, help me here. I look down. I'm in the garage. Thank you, Jesus. Say amen. How many knows he'll help you? For Mary, it's like all of a sudden he hears something, Mary, and it catches her ear. I've heard this voice before. Remember, Mary Magdalene used to be demon-possessed, and God set her free. Now she's hearing the voice of the Master. Listen, in the midst of your struggles, you still need to hear the Lord. There are times that the Lord will let you go through your weep mode and then get your attention. Say amen. But how many of us, we've wasted a lot of tears sometimes. Now, God wants us to have emotion. There's no doubt about it. But emotions can also keep you bound. Only three of you agree with me. Emotions can keep you bound. There are times that we get like tunnel vision in there. And we only can focus on what's wrong. Hey, where's the Lord's body? That's all she wanted to know. Tell me where the Lord's body is. If you take it to someplace, I'll go. And then the Lord speaks, Mary. Oh, I've heard that voice before. His voice is impressive. I said his voice is impressive. His voice is still. If you take a note, Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, thus saith the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've called you by name, for you are mine. When it comes to the voice, it like gives us the expression of who we are. It's like it begins to announce those areas. He's announcing, Mary, Mary. It's like, now I'm going to try to get your attention. When the Lord speaks to us, we need to have yes and amen. Amen. Like Mary, I'd have been the same way. If I saw him physically die upon that cross, you know that he breathed his last, I'd have a hard time believing that 3 days he's coming back alive. I wish I could say, hey, no problem, man, I just believe that, but that wasn't in me. I'm weak in the flesh. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But today in Hebrews 3 verse 7, today he says this, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. When I look at that voice is still. And you know when God speaks to you. How many ever been corrected by the Lord? How many of you know that? How many ever had the Lord speak it loud to you like, don't do this? Amen? How many of your parents have ever had to speak it a little louder than just a whisper? to your kids. Okay, three of you. It's nice when your kids were just super obedient. Please do everything right. Oh, I'll do everything right. And not try to con you like, hey, I'm doing this to win something. How many ever like listened to them and all of a sudden it got real quiet? You're like, what's going on? How many of us, there's reality with that? He's now speaking to her, and this voice is, it's quiet, but it's also loud. It's peaceful. It begins to speak into her situation. Sometimes if you're going through it, rest for a moment. There's nothing taking you that but is common to man. And believe me, the Lord can help you. We get all worked up sometimes, and you know what? We miss many times what God wants. But I know he's patient. He knows how to deal with each kid. Number four, if you're taking notes, to see the glorified, we need to do what he says. Jesus gets Mary's attention in verse 17. He says, don't cling to me, don't touch me, for I'm not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. I mean, it was that he's given her a commission. Now, what I appreciate about Mary Magdalene, she was demon-possessed, and now she gets to become the first evangelist to the disciples. Isn't that cool? If you feel like you're inadequate, you're not. God can send you. He's going to send somebody who used to be demon-possessed now to speak to the rest of the disciples that are in fear. I'll get to that in a minute. I appreciate about that. God can use anyone. Do you know God can place you before kings and priests, before presidents, before somebody in your company? God can place you in those arenas. But how many really feel like, now here's the disciples. And Mary Magdalene, I've seen the Lord. I've seen him. He's alive. How many maybe had this thing like, well, you used to be demon-possessed. I don't know if I can listen to you or not. You may not be the greatest witness here. Oh, I can preach that. What if a child came in and prophesied a message? Would we hear it? Because, oh no, they're little. They can't speak that way. I mean, as if God's speaking, we need to hear that word. Amen? But it also gives great comfort that look at what God can do. He can change you from being in the world to being a world changer. From not having a message that meant anything to being one of the first to speak, hey, he is alive. I love that. Anyone who seeks the Lord, you'll be found of him. Say amen. But notice she went. She did that. She had to go and find gentlemen, I'll get to this in a minute, that were locked behind a door for fear of the Jews. She's going to go there and she's going to proclaim, I have saw the Lord. Many times when God commissions us, we need to do what he says. He said, hey, why are you crying? When she calmed down, he spoke a word in the situation. Now I want you to tell them I'm alive. He wanted to make sure they knew. He knew that we were weak in the flesh. He knew that our failure was in this flesh. But now you're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you saw Jesus die on the cross, really, you saw him up there, you saw him breathe his last, you saw the spear being stuck in him, blood and water flowed, they took down his body, you knew they stuck him behind this tomb, there was a rock there, the rock was going away, things were like, man, unbelievably chaos, you were upset about it, you wanted to find the Lord, and all of a sudden you meet him. I would be like, dude. Yes or no? You're that close now, like, how many would be like, oh man, Lord. But he's always peaceful, even when we're frightened. Amen. Isn't that cool? He didn't say, boo! How many of us that would have freaked you out? Or grab a hold of you and run down and say, ha, 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 it's me. Let's go for a little ride. No, he's always gentle among us. The shepherd always moves slow amongst the sheep. Aren't you glad for that? He speaks the word, Mary, now I want you to go and tell them. I want you to be another witness that I am alive. That gives me great comfort to know that any one of us here can be that witness. It doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter who your family was. All that doesn't matter. God commissions you. Amen? But will we do what he says? I wonder how many times, even in our exuberance of joy, we forget the message. How many times in Scripture when Jesus said, listen, he healed them, go show yourself to the priest first. Don't announce this. And yet they spoke it all over. Many times Jesus wanted to keep who he was quiet so he could do more miracles. Hello? Because when the crowds pressed in on him, sometimes things didn't happen the way they needed to. Oh, God is good. When it comes to speaking out, faith without works is dead. James 2, 17 and 18. Listen, we need works, but it doesn't save you. But if you see a brother or sister in need and you say, go and warm and be filled and do nothing about his needs, where is your faith? Jesus said, I'll show you my faith by what I do. Amen. I mean, he did it. He didn't just say, I love you. He demonstrated it. Amen. The church needs also. Yeah. What I appreciate about Mary Magdalene is that she was making a beeline. She said, hey, I'll take his body if it's there. I know she couldn't lift it. I'll take it. But if you tell me to go, I'll go. How many have that heart in here? If the Lord tells you to go, you'll go. See, we need that resolve today. There are so many distractions today. There are so many things that take us away or I'll get to it. Could you imagine, no, I need to go home first. I got to go do this and this and this and this and this. I got to wash the car. I got to go do this. I got to do this. And then, Lord, I'll get around to telling the disciples. Say amen. Amen. How many knows that's real? In John 4, verse 34, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Even Paul at the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4, 7, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. For Mary Magdalene, I've never met her. Obviously, we haven't. But can you imagine a couple thousand years later, we're talking about her in a service. One day I'll see her and I'll say, hey, look, I read about your life. Cool. History and eternity will record our lives too. I really believe this with all my heart, that nations will be touched by our generosity. Somebody will touch this person will touch that person got touched, that person, all this happened because of it. Could you imagine the Lord saying, well done, good and faithful servant, you'd scattered a little seed and I multiplied it. What if a whole town or a village or a nation came to Christ because of your effort? How many would be just blown away? Mary Magdalene will be blown away that we talked about her a couple thousand years later. And all she did was do what God said. Sometimes we just a little obedience, a little bit. That's why even a cup of cold water won't go without a blessing. We can all do that. Amen? Number five, to see the glorified, we need to realize we have a relationship with God. Notice what she says in verse 17. Jesus said, I'm going to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Now, I don't know her relationship with her family. It only mentions her name. But something mattered to her. I'm now going to go to my Father and your Father. Could you imagine out of Jesus' lips, I'm going to go to my God and your God. He makes it so personal. I wonder what that did inside her heart. I don't know if she had a father or not. I don't even know if she had a father figure. It doesn't say much about her family. But notice what God speaks of all the things under the sun he could ever share. I'm going to go to my Father and yours, and to my God and your God. Notice that meant so much to her. When you need a word, God knows exactly what you need. And that word I needed to hear. That means I have royalty in my family. I'm related to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't that cool? And he isn't just a normal person. He's God. I'm going to go to my God and your God. That's an encouragement. She was once demon-possessed. Now she's a child of the Most High God. Can you see the knockout blows to Satan, what that's doing? You once filled this vessel, but now this vessel is mine. She's now proclaiming, and now the greatest thing ever, what Satan will never be, is a child of the Most High God. This servant will. Isn't that so cool? Hallelujah. I love this. When I look at Mary Magdalene, she became the first evangelist of the resurrection to the disciples. Here comes Mary Magdalene. He is alive. Listen, when your witness is true, don't back down from it. I don't know the response of all the gentlemen, but I do know that she was there and she told the truth. When the truth is spoken, the truth will always last. It'll always last. It will outlast people. When people say he isn't real, one day you will see him. He is real. He is who he says he was. He knows our frame, but we're just but dust. Amen? Enjoying this morning? Number six, to see the glorified, fear must be forsaken. Look at verse 18. And Mary Magdalene come and told the disciples, she's seen the Lord, and all these things he has spoken. I want you to look at verse 19. Let me find it here in my book. And then that same day in the evening, being the first day of the week, the doors were shut because the disciples were in fear of the Jews. And Jesus stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. The great and mighty disciples, the ones who walked with Jesus, were in a closed building door. The doors were locked. When I look at that, you know, that gives me hope that sometimes I stunk in faith. I walked in fear because I didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. In the natural, none of us can stand up to these things. We'll look at natural surroundings instead of the power of the Holy Ghost. But notice the doors were locked. They were for fear of the Jews, and Jesus comes in the room. Isn't that so cool? That means the limitations of today will be removed in the next place we're going. And yet Jesus said, feel me. Give me something to eat. Wouldn't that be cool? No calories, no problems. All that's done away with. Glory to God. You get to have a traffic stopping body every day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on. But notice he came in the room and he says something they all need to hear. Peace. What if Jesus came down in service after you saw him up there? How many would be like, dude, I see a vision. Man, that's a ghost. What is that? How many would be freaking out because you just saw him die? Yet he speaks just what they need. The same call, the same peace when he broke bread. Peace be unto you. The same way he spoke to Mary. Mary, the tone was there. The voice was there, and they reckon this is the Lord. Wouldn't that make you super happy? Yes or no? How many of you are like, so cool, he is, he did do it. Just like he said, 3 days he's alive. Why didn't I believe? All the unnecessary tears I just shed. Look at, we're hiding in this room, guys, for fear of the Jews. He's alive. Amen. But we have to deal with fear. Fear has torment. Fear closes us from faith. Man, it's like the illustration in our hearts and eyes. Fear shuts us down. It's like, yeah, you believe. I don't believe. I share with the first service. Let me have fear creep up on you. We reach out to the community. And 5,000 people show up next Sunday. And we promise to feed everyone. And Marcia goes to the refrigerator and she says, Pastor, we have one loaf, a little bit of bologna and cheese. What should we do? In the natural, everybody go to the grocery store, buy some food, bring it back. Yes or no? Oh, no, you're all like, yeah, no problem. Let me lay your hands on that. And all of a sudden we say, you know what? Let's pray over this. Lord, multiply this seed. And what happens after the first sandwich is made, the second, the third, the 400th, the 800th, the 1,000, and there's enough left over to feed everybody who fed them? I mean, that would be a miracle. Fear will paralyze us from seeing that. Fear will say it can't be done. The door was locked. Why were they hiding? Why were they hiding? He said, I'm going to do it in 3 days, just like I said. Now I send an angelic host over. I'll deal with your emotions first. I'll deal with your tunnel vision, and then you'll be able to hear something. And when you do, don't let fear stop you. Keep marching. Oh, see, God is good. Which leads me to number seven. to see the glorified, a doubting spirit must go. I said a doubting spirit must go. In John chapter 20, verse 24, now Thomas, which was a twin, one of the 12, wasn't there when Jesus appeared to others. And he said unto them, unless I see the nail prints, put my finger where it is, place my hand in the side, I will not believe. Now notice, after 8 days, another week here, his disciples were together inside. Thomas was with him, and Jesus stood. The doors were shut. Listen, it's another week. How many times are we going to keep the door shut? Oh, I've been to churches where the doors are shut. You're not welcome, just us four and no more. You upset the cart by you coming in. Oh, say amen. I've been there. I've been unwelcome before. I know what that feels like. And he says this, peace. And he said to Thomas, reach out your finger. Look at my hands. Look at me. Place it there. Stop being an unbeliever and believe. Now Jesus appeared other times and Thomas wasn't there, and he makes a declaration, I'm not going to believe until I see. What I appreciate about Jesus is he wants you to walk by faith, but for Thomas' situation, he allowed him to touch him. I shared with the first service, Satan inflicted him, but Jesus now uses it as a testimony. After the resurrection, he could have been totally mended every bit, but he still bears the scars of what our sin did. Not to make us feel bad, but to be an eternal witness to the world. I am he. They don't hurt anymore. It's a witness. He will bear them forever of what we did, my sin did to him. It'll also show up one day at the last judgment. When they say, you didn't do it, and he stretches out his hand. Yes, I was the one. I am he. I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. He now brings forth that witness. But a doubting spirit, how many times have we doubted his word? How many times have we trusted in ourselves? How many times have we said, you know what? I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. It's a teaching time for all of us. Sometimes the situation's way outside our control. Way outside. And I shared with the first service, if all the water dried up, and the Lord said, strike the corner of the building, bring your buckets, it'll flow. How many be like, okay, Lord, if that's what you want. But that only happens when you begin to trust the individual. True? Now, if I know you in this room, and you said, hey, Ruth says, trust me on this. I will be there at this time. Could I trust that word? I have a relationship with Ruth. She's fulfilled that word before I can do that. Many times we're trying to trust the Lord in what we don't know him. When you know him, you can trust him. Many times we just need to know him more. You want more miracles to happen, flow from your life? Those who know the Lord do exploits. Know him. But when he promises something, if you have a relationship and you trust him, it's going to come to pass. Can you trust the Lord or not? Yes or no? Then we need to trust him. Amen. They didn't know him. They were still on that lower level relationship. They were still learning those things. And now they're going to have the Holy Spirit to teach them the big truth. Now, my wife and I were driving the other day, just spoke this. You ever notice that every disciple gave their life for the cause after the resurrection? What I appreciate about that is that it was real, and it was real to them too. They gave their life for this. Next week, I'm going to cover this a little more. What if the Lord appeared for 40 days to you all? How many think that's a pretty convincing proof? And then on the last time, you saw him go up from among you. And then he tells you, go into all the world and speak this. How many be like, I'm speaking it? The church needs again to see him high and lifted up. We may not have physically get to do that, but spiritually it's the same. It's the same. He told Thomas, listen to me, blessed are thou who still believe and have not seen. It's still a reality. I believe the resurrection needs to be preached more than just one Sunday out of the year. He's alive. Many times Jesus can't do many miracles because of their unbelief. He came to his own hometown and they said, "You're the carpenter's son. Isn't Mary your mother?" And he said, "Because of their unbelief, I couldn't do many, only touch a few." Let's stop doubting and start believing. We have the answer to the world's problems. We do. It's in Christ Jesus. Amen? We need to have that faith. That mountain's in the way. Be thou what? Removed. You don't get to choose how it's removed, whether it's a shovel full at a time or the whole mountain splits, but the mountain's moving. Hallelujah. Sometimes your prayer has to beat a little longer on it, but notice every time there's a chunk leaving. It gives me faith sometimes. Like many of you, I prayed for things that I've seen nothing happening yet. But every time it's another wham. 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 And you know what? It's moving. It's moving. And sooner or later, the mountain will be gone. Hallelujah. And I've learned when mountains moved, it paves a new path for others to follow. Some of you need to pay the price in prayer so others can walk in your victory too. Oh, that's good preaching. We need that. You stand for your families, believe God. Stand for other people's families. Trust Him. Pray for it. This morning, I'll share just a glimpse here with my prayer time. Early this morning, you as couples, now that doesn't mean I didn't pray for you if you're single. You as couples were appearing before me. Wham, wham, wham. One after another, after another, after another. They were coming faster than I could think about it. So I was just praying in the Holy Ghost over every situation. How many of us, the Lord knows what you need even before we are even awake? He cares for us. He's that shepherd. He's there. He's looking at him. I want everyone. He's telling these guys, learn this lesson. I'm still teaching you. I said I would do it. I've done it. Now believe it. He gives us grace sometimes. He'll cover those things. But believe me, you parents know, when your children are of age, you expect something greater than when they were an infant. Say yes. Amen. Come on. So does the Lord. As you mature in the faith, the Lord expects more from you. Even Paul said, by now I should be giving you meat, but I'm still sticking a bottle in your mouth. He told that to the Hebrews. Come on, now grow up. Amen. One of my favorite lines, mama, mama. Come on, grow up. The Lord wants you to. There's so much more He wants to teach you and you to walk in. Amen. Bless God that they grow out of diapers. True? It's cute when they're little, but bless God, it's nice when they do their business. Right? I always get a chuckle when they're able to order from the menu. Here's your menu. They get all proud. Get to order your own food. The other day, my wife and I were in the grocery store, and some of the grocery stores now have the little bitty carts for the little guys. And man, this mom was so patient. She had two kids just like me, rambunctious, ran around the store. They were running with their little shopping carts, but their mom allowed them to have real stuff in there. And they came down our aisle. They were just boogieing it. Wah! The mom goes, "We're so sorry." I go, "Look, we understand. Let them go by." Boom! Amen. That doesn't offend me any. They were growing up. They were helping mom. And mom allowed it. The Lord does that too for us. He allows us to grow up in faith. But then there's an expectation too. We need to grow in that expectation. For Mary Magdalene, you know what? She was a different lady. It doesn't say much more about her in Scripture. But any encounter like that with the Lord changes your life. And you know when you do something when you're obedient, how many knows that makes you happy too? And it makes the Lord happy. I want Him to be pleased with my life. Anybody here? Then stop doubting and start believing. Believe because God said. Believe because He said. If you'll do that, it'll change. And they all got a hold of it. They did. They grabbed a hold of that. Next week, I'm going to cover a little more on how He did these things. And then one of the most important aspects, that 40 days after the resurrection, guess what happened? Pentecost came. The pneumas of God is going to come in them. He's going to allow them to have the same spirit he has in their mortal bodies. That's going to be so cool. And for the first time, you're going to be able to walk like he walked. Now, I know I still have some weaknesses. I still have some failures. But that's only in my sin nature, not the new nature of Christ. Amen? And every single one of them gave their life because they saw him. As we close here, how many here need to listen to what he says? How many here need to sometimes reel in the emotions? How about this? Not get tunnel vision calling the problem, but have more of an observation. Anybody with me? How many need to grab a hold of fear? Like, no, fear is torment. I'm not going to be fearful here. Each area, when I place myself, I put myself in this message. Yep, yep, yep. And how many need to trust him more? You don't need to see something happen, a hand move, or this happened, a cloud appeared, or see Jesus in a potato chip. You know how many times I've shouted at the TV? My wife says, they can't hear you. I go, but I know I feel better. Jesus is not on a potato chip. I don't care if you see the image or not. He's not there. You can't relegate the King of Kings to a potato chip. He don't fit. He's Lord. The tomb is empty. It was only borrowed. Oh, you hearing me? The only thing he left back there was something he didn't need. I'm alive, and I'm alive forevermore. Let's believe that word. Let's work again on believing his word again, church. Too many are trusting in the arm of the flesh, trusting in their own ways. God wants the church to walk by faith. And in these last days, I'm going to give you a prophetic word. We need to walk by faith. Your faith will be tested. You will be tried, but that which comes forth will be gold. Keep walking in it, church. And you'll see the fulfillment of God's word. And as we close here, I never want to take it for granted. Is everyone in here, do you know the Lord?
Yes, I do.
Is there anyone here this morning say, Pastor, I want to make sure that I'm forgiven? If he came this evening, would you be ready to meet him? Is your heart and life right? If it's not, it's so easy. You can ask, Lord, forgive me and change me. And he'll do this, that. Is there anyone this morning say, Pastor, I need to get my life right. I want to make sure heaven's my home. Just lift it up. I'll pray for you. I see it. I'm not going to judge. I'm going to love you. I did that one time a lot of years ago. Anyone else say, Pastor, I want to make sure my life is right with the Lord. Anyone else? Just lift it up. Don't be embarrassed. Because I'll pray for just one. One matters to me. Anyone else? As we close here, how many see yourself in this story? From the emotions to the fear to the doubting to hearing his voice to following in obedience, I place myself there too, Lord. Let me be that person. And Lord, when I fail, Lord, let me get back up and keep going. Cover my transgressions. We're all growing in this. Don't come under condemnation. And if you feel like the Lord can't use you, he just used somebody that used to be demon-possessed. Great hope for all of us. Amen? For that one that raised their hand, would you pray this with me, church? Lord Jesus. Everyone in here, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord, my Savior. I believe that you died for me. And I believe that you rose from the dead. So right now, I am saved and I am forgiven. Heaven is my home because you're my Lord. Now, Jesus, help my weaknesses so I can live for you all the days of my life. I won't trust in the arm of the flesh, but in the power of the Spirit. And Lord Jesus, when you speak, I will obey. I come against fear. I will walk in faith, because He's my life, my power, and my love. In Jesus' name, amen.